read from a portion here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Sometimes we stick to what we find in the Gospels concerning what we're about here with the Lord's table. But here are six verses in 1 Corinthians 10 that are vital to our understanding of what this is about. And Paul begins by saying, the cup of blessing which we bless. I know that there are many different names that are given to what we do here. Some people call it the Eucharist. Some people call it a sacrament. But those are all terms that man has made up. The word sacrament literally means sacred. That somehow in the cup and in the bread there is grace. That in partaking somehow now you can receive an added grace of the Lord. But I like the simple terms of Scripture. It says the cup of blessing. Stop and think about how our Lord, the night that he instituted the Lord's table, blessed the cup and then gave it to his disciples to drink. That's why it's called the cup of blessing, which we bless. We can't add anything to the cup, but we bless what the cup represents. We bless God for what this wine represents, which is the blood shed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So by partaking, people ask me that, well, can I partake? Well, are you one for whom Christ paid the sin debt? Those are the ones that partake. Those are the ones that bless the cup because they know that there's no salvation in us. It must then be entirely in him and in his death. And I love how Paul puts it there in verse 16, 1 Corinthians 10 again. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Now, that's a good term for what we're about. We call it the Lord's table, but it's the communion. We're partaking in communion, not only with the Lord, testifying that it was for me that he shed his blood, but communion with one another. And that's how all those that have been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ are members one of another. Take your concordance and look up that particular expression, one another. You'd be amazed how the scriptures set forth how it is that we share with one another. We pray for one another. We have this communion with one another. That's an amazing thing right there when you stop and think about it, because we're not easy folk to get along with, are we? We all have our little differences and things we like and don't like. And I'm always amazed that in spite of all that, here we are peaceably coming, sitting, worshiping together, rejoicing together, sharing together. All of that is the effect of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in making us members of his body. So this is the communion of the blood of Christ. This is how we see how when that blood was shed, it was shed for such wretches as we are. But oh, how great must be that work of the blood of Christ to cleanse and to purify from all sin. But there's two parts. There's the cup that we bless. That's the wine. And then he says the bread which we break. Now, we could wait and just pass one piece of bread and have everybody break off their piece for health reasons. We have it broken ahead of time and put out, so you've just taken the piece that is yours. But when the Lord first initiated this table, this communion, there was one loaf. It was unleavened. And he just simply passed it one to the other, and they took it off and broke it and ate it. That's what Paul's talking about here, the bread which we break. The important thing is the symbolism. As you look at the bread in your hand, it's a broken bread. And it represents the body of Christ. No bone of Christ was ever broken, but it represents his body, which was, you think about how bread is made, is taken and harvested from seed. He was sown in the ground, raised up, cut down, and then taken and milled, taken to the mill, and literally milled into fine flour. And then what happens to that flour? You take and you bake it. You put it in the oven and bake it. Every part of that represents the coming, doing, dying of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he endured. And I always mention it. I love the fact that on this bread, there are marks of fire, because it represents, again, how the Lord Jesus Christ would have borne the wrath and the justice of God for his people. And so it's both. It's the cup which we bless, and Paul says there, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? See, that's what this is all about, communion with his body. He says, for we being many are one bread. So this was broken out of one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. That's really what we're testifying. There's nothing mystical or superstitious about what we're about here. You can take and drop this, not that I recommend, on the floor, and you would not have affected Christ's body one whit. But there's some that are like, ooh, some priest has to literally take it and put it on their tongue because they feel like this is actually the body of Christ. If any part of it falls, then Christ has failed. That's not our Christ. No, it's who he represents, but it's to signify how we're all partakers of one bread. And then he goes on, behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? He's talking about those priests that continue to offer their sacrifices. That's why he says Israel after the flesh. Even though Christ had come, there was still those going on as if nothing was. And he says, what say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? He's saying basically their false worship and their way of continuing on and their offering of sacrifices, they're identifying with those sacrifices. It's idolatrous, but it doesn't change one whit what Christ came and accomplished for his people. That's what I love about partaking here of the Lord's table, the communion. As we reflect on Christ, it doesn't matter what the world's doing out there. How's the Lord taught us? And this is how he teaches his own, to participate and partake in light of Christ and what he accomplished. He says in verse 20, I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. It's interesting that whatever God has established as truth, as a picture and type of Christ, the world is going to mimic. The world is going to imitate. But here's where we're warned to be careful. You can't just go into any building where they're having worship and that day they're actually serving the Lord's table or calling to communion or whatever, and you're thinking, oh, okay, well, I can participate. Be careful. Because if it's not representing the one true Christ, then you have no part in it. It's a sacrifice unto idols. That's strong language, but that's what Paul says. And he said, I would not that ye should fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord, which represents this wine and his blood, and the cup of devils. What does that say? That says anything that's not the cup of the Lord is the cup of the devil. And the devil's the greatest imitator of all. And how does he mimic and imitate the truth? It's through religion. It's through ceremony. It's through ritual. And I've had some just shrug their shoulders and say, well, I can go anywhere. I can partake of the cup anytime, any place. It doesn't affect what I believe. Well, it does. Because you're entering into fellowship with devils, is the way Paul put it. It's a statement. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of, here it is, the Lord's table. It's interesting that in this one portion, he refers to what we're about here in two different ways. Well, three ways: the cup of blessing, the communion with his body, and here, the Lord's table. But you can't partake of the Lord's table and the devil's table. I've actually been places to preach around the world in different congregations because they invited me in. I remember one specifically in Madagascar where it was anything but the gospel. And I just went there, I was invited, I was waiting my turn to preach. And when I finished, they wanted me to come up and kneel down on this little altar here so this guy, dressed in a priest's robe, could offer his bread and his wine. And people were coming forward. I just sat there, and he kept nodding at me, and I said, nope. Afterward, he asked me, I said, 1 Corinthians 10, go read it. Everything you're about here is nothing but sacrifice unto devils. It's not the gospel of Christ. And then Paul ends with, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? You know, be careful in taking fire to your bosom and thinking somehow you're not going to be burnt. This is precious. You know, this has to do with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's nobody else's business. Whatever they are doing in their religion, they're doing because they still have not been taught of Christ. Because I know this, if they were, they would stop that in an instant. And that's what I want us to see. This is not just some ritual we go through once a month. We could do it every time. But I'm more interested in that when, like Christ said, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup. He didn't even prescribe it being done. There's some that make a legalism out of it. In fact, they'll call us adulterous because we don't serve the Lord's table every time we meet, whether Wednesday night or Sunday. They do. And they think that we're defiling the truth. No, Christ said, as oft as you eat this bread and drink it. So here's the oft. Here it is now. But what's it about? It's about Christ, his shed blood, and his body. He came and a body was prepared for him that we might be washed and sanctified and justified before him. Let's thank the Lord and then we'll partake. Gracious Father, how precious is your word. How precious the reminders that everything we do is to your honor and glory through your Son alone. And so we bless this bread, we bless this cup because of who it represents. All blessing comes through him. Praise God from whom all blessings flow through your Son. And so as we partake, may our hearts and minds truly rejoice in that work that he came and accomplished. And we give you the praise and honor in his precious name. Amen.